World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning out there to all the Brighteon crew. Coach Dave Dobenmeyer, but we've got a show lined up for you here today. Beware the Ides of March. I don't know. We spoke about that last week on my morning show. Beware the Ides of March. The Ides of March is the middle of March. It's a good time for us to kind of take an assessment of where we are. And I got some stuff to drop on you today. The tornadoes that hit Indian Lake, Ohio, which is just up the road for us here a little bit. And we're working to put together a team to go up there. Finances, what's going on in the financial markets? What's going on in the world? Are things really beginning to break loose? Is America under judgment? That's something we're going to have to begin to ask ourselves. And are you and are we all prepared for what maybe could be down the road? I'm not a doom and gloomer. I say the sun's always either coming up or getting up or whatever. Boy, there's some crazy things going on out there. So hang in there, folks. We'll be right back on the other side. All right, Johnny, let's go ahead and get that number one playing up there. But hey, folks, look, I couldn't believe this. Remember last week I was telling you how bad the storms were the other night? Was that Friday night? I lose track of time. It's Thursday night, wasn't it? Friday? And I said, man, those storms, well, it hit Indian Lake, Ohio. It did. Indian Lake, actually, it's Lakeview. It's up by where Mike Spalding is. And I wonder how many of you remember this little song I want to play here today. Indian Lake. Remember the Castles? Remember that? You have to be old, Bob Evans. You got to be old there, Dr. Paul, to remember the Castles. But they sang this song called Indian Lake. Go ahead and play this real quickly. Wait a minute. Start it if you could. Didn't I say to start that thing at... No, go ahead and play it. Go ahead and play it. Can't hear it. Oh. Anybody remember that yet? This is where the tornado hit.
You take a bus mark, Lakewood Drive, and you keep on riding till you're out of the city. Where the air is fine with the sweet smelling pine and the countryside's pretty. And you see Daffodil deal leaping over the hill for a hundred other mama bears. Just take a left at the bridge.
All right, that goes back to 1960s, I think it was. You can pull that thing down there now. So Indian Lake, right? Folks, here's Indian Lake today, number two. This is on the western edge of Ohio. Indian Lake today. Go ahead and play that. I don't know what it froze up on him. You get the feel for it, right, folks? And I don't know how many of you know this or not. We have a history of showing up and doing work at hurricanes, tornadoes. In fact, it was 2005, Hurricane Katrina. It was really kind of the first thing that we ever hit. And pull up that team picture, number three, if you can for me, John. This is a bunch of guys we took down. I don't know where, man, there's old Mark Trump sitting over there on the left. Tree Lynn Jim. This is our crew we took down to. This is either Mississippi or Texas, someplace. Gary Pierce over there on the left-hand side. But we're going to do this again this next, beginning on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We're going to be on the ground at Indian Lake, and we're going to have chainsaws, and Pastor Bill Dunphy's going to come. He said he's going to bring his skid steer. We're just going to help with what's a massive, massive cleanup that has to take place out there. And so if you're interested in doing that, email me. Just go to Coach Dave Alive and email. Say, Coach, I'm in. I'd love to come. We'll go. We'll have housing for you. Normally they feed us. If not, we'll take care of the food. And then for those of you who can't go with us, we'd like you to help finance what we're doing, because here's what happens, okay? Go to Coach Dave Live, donate real quick so people can understand this. Folks, look, I've been to many of these things. What's his name? Franklin Graham's group will show up. They do great work. And the American Cross, people give money to the American Cross. That's just a big old government agency. And what we like to do is we like to raise money, because when we're there, we'll run into individual pastors. We'll run into an individual guy who just – he's broke, or his car, whatever. And so we like to be able to, are you hearing me now? We share the gospel when we go. We share the gospel. We just don't go hand out, treat everybody the same. Because those folks who've gone through this, is Dale Socia. Maybe Dale, maybe you can come in and amen this. The idea of how devastating that was. And down in Hurricane Katrina, Dale's down in North.
Amen, Coach. Many a times. How about Springfield? How about Texas? How about Florida for right. Hurricane Michael? How about the tornadoes up in Kentucky? Yes, Pass the Salt Ministry has been in all of those areas, delivering help and delivering the message.
Folks, I'm going to tell you something. People are never more open for the gospel than those folks in Indian Lake. Never more open for the gospel. Because everything they built their life upon is gone. It's gone. I saw in the news yesterday that they found some guy. Listen to this, Clay. They found some guy after 3 days in his mobile home, blown into the water, still alive. Both legs broken. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine he's in his mobile home, sitting up to his waist in water. Both legs are broken and he can't get out. Oh, my goodness, what a horror story that would be. Anyway, we're gone. We're gone. And we'd love for you to come with us. If you're able to, just contact me. Say, Coach, I'd love to go. Say, Coach, I can't come for the whole time. I can only come for one day. That's okay. By the way, when we did this down in Hurricane Katrina, we kept a team on the ground for about 6 weeks. Different groups coming in, coming out, coming in, coming out. I don't see this being that long. But, again, it's a great opportunity to cut up some trees and move some brush, and just the cleanup message is unbelievable. Now, here's what happens. A lot of people like to run in right at the beginning, and we're all excited about helping. But this thing, folks, this is going to go on. This cleanup's going to go on for quite a while. So if you're interested in doing that, those of you out there watching on Patriot Party News, you can donate. You can help us. And the money goes to, like I said, the money doesn't go to the Red Cross. It doesn't go to the Salvation Army. Did you know this? Did you guys know that the Salvation Army isn't allowed to share the gospel anymore when they go? Why are they not allowed to share the gospel? Anybody know? Oh, sure, Coach. Because they get government funding. So the government is now in control of the Salvation Army. Okay? All right? So, again, play a little bit of that Indian Lake from the Sky. It's down the road. It's about an hour and 40 minutes from where I live. It's close to where Pastor Mike Spaulding lives. We're looking for housing. We're going to find a place to house everybody. There's always all kinds of food because they feed it, but all expenses. It's not going to cost you anything other than the gas maybe to get here. Also, one thing's really kind of interesting about Indian Lake, a lot of these are mobile homes. People come and they live in them, right? They live in them. They're trailer homes right by the lake. And then, oh my goodness, what a mess. So enough doom and gloom, Coach. Throw that back up there again. Folks, look. Any ways you can help, put the donate up there. Look at that there, man. Wow. There's a donate. We take credit cards. You can mail it to us if you want to. Send us a donation, and we'll use every bit of it down there. We'll find churches that we'll partner with. And because, again, think you're running a small church. Are you connected with the government? Is that who you want to turn to for help? So God bless you all. And anybody likes to go again, email us at, put the email up there, Johnny, or someplace where people may be watching it bright on. It's ptsalt@gmail.com. Let me say that again. ptsalt. ptsalt@gmail.com. Say, Coach, I'd love to go. So I can only come for a day or whatever, and we'd love to plug in. ptsalt@gmail.com. Throw that team picture back up there again, John, if you could. And it's great. It's great camaraderie. There's old Johnny Burkeen in the middle and Jim Kraft sitting there. And Gary, look at all those guys. Man, I forgot about some of those guys. The lady in the middle, that's actually her home that we cleaned up. Bill Dunphy's up in the corner. Oh, my goodness. I hadn't seen some of those guys quite a while. It's a wonderful, wonderful experience if you folks would like to come. Yeah, and we'll take a bunch of hats. John Hartzler's there. We'll take a bunch of hats and give you a hat for coming with us. Amen. All right, cool. Let me move on because I think there's something going on. I remember we talked the other day about the Ides of March. Beware of the Ides of March. Coach, there's a lot of stuff that's going on around us. And I want to just throw some things up here that maybe you didn't know. Let's start with if a collapse begins to happen in America, friends, what's it going to look like? How will we recognize it? Is the collapse already beginning? I want to show you some things that may be going to curl your toes a little bit, Johnny. If you could, pull up number 12. I talked about this the other day. Dollar stores. 1,000 family dollar stores are closing all across America. Now, I don't know what it's like where you live. There are dollar stores on every corner, aren't there? Dollar stores on every corner. You know what part of the problem is? They're $5 stores now. Yeah, they ain't a dollar store anymore. I know it because I was just in there yesterday to purchase some. We got one just down the road. 1,000 of them are going under, man, going under. This is just the beginning signs of exactly maybe a collapse. I'm not trying to scare anybody. Just a idea of a collapse that's coming. How about this one? Pull up number 9 for me. Pull up number 9, Tyson Foods. Are you ready for this one, folks? Tyson Foods, we all know about Tyson Foods. Look, I'm trying to, not trying to scare you, I'm trying to warn you. That's number, what 9 is? Tyson Foods, scroll up with this. You know what they're doing at Tyson Foods, folks? They're firing 1,000 workers, 1,276 blue-collar jobs. And what are they doing? They're trying to employ 42,000 immigrants in place of these guys. Now, why does this happen? Well, we know because the finances have hit everybody, right? Prices are going up. Everything. So Tyson Foods says, man, we got to save some money. Let's get rid of our employees and let's hire some of these illegals who will work for $10 an hour rather than $20 an hour. By the way, time to boycott Tyson Foods if they're going to be doing that stuff. Scroll down there a little bit, Spence or Johnny. So they look at that, huh? It's coming to Tyson Foods. The great replacement in front of us, folks. Tyson Food is firing American workers and replacing them with immigrants. And adding insult to injury, Tyson Foods will also provide lawyers to help with immigration here. you can't believe this stuff, can you? You can't believe this is going on in the United States of America. Another one. Let me have another one. Go to, which one is it? Biden Food Wars. Pull number 11 up there. What? Oh, yeah. Biden escalates war on food as thousands of processing plants across rural America are forced to close. 317, beware the Ides of March. They're closing these businesses down. Why, folks? Greater control of the food. You control the food and you control the population. Okay, here you go. Spencer, I'm sorry, John, pull up Harari email. You guys, you know who Harari is, don't you? That was a standalone email I sent you, John. Noah Harari. Are you ready for this, folks? He's a leading advisor to the World Economic Forum. Go ahead and play this.
In the book, if I understand it correctly, you argue that actually the amazing breakthrough that we are experiencing right now not only will potentially make our life better, but they will create, and I quote you, new classes and new class struggles, just as the Industrial Revolution did. Can you elaborate for us?
Yes, in the Industrial Revolution, we saw the creation of a new class of the urban proletariat. And much of the political and social history of the last 200 years involved what to do with this class and the new problems and opportunities. Now, we see the creation of a new massive class of useless people. As computers become better and better in more and more fields, there is a distinct possibility that computers will outperform us in most tasks and will make humans redundant. And then the big political and economic question of the 21st century will be, what do we need humans for? Or at least, what do we need so many humans for?
Do you have an answer in the book?
At present, the best guess we have is keep them happy with drugs and computer games.
Best guess we have is to keep them happy. Wow, sports, computer games. Folks, man, we're we're in the middle of some unbelievably crazy things. One more thing here. How much time I got there, Johnny? Maybe you can show me that. Thank you, buddy. Thank you. Okay, this is powerful too, folks. Hey, I'm by myself all weekend sometimes, digging through, finding some of this stuff, but it's all connecting. A great they're telling us, friends, they're telling us that they want to have a great reset. Now, let me pause here a second before we play this next thing. John, I'm sorry. Get it ready. Which one was it, John? Oh, I got so much stuff. Oh, yeah. Number 6, Robert F. Kennedy. Hang on. Oh, folks, they're telling us there's a reset coming. What's it going to look like? What's it going to look like? See what Robert F. Kennedy says about it, what they're doing to us right now. Go ahead.
Doing this all over the country to franchise owners. It's kind of the last frontier for private equity of destroying small business in this country.
Correct. In the last 5 years, private equity acquisition of franchises have doubled and tripled each year, year over year. The independently owned small business owners have no way to defend themselves against these billion-dollar corporations that come in. One of the hardest things is that they're buying up these large swaths of industries in regions, right? There's a company called Champions Group right now in the Southwest is a really good example. You can look them up online. They've purchased dozens of HVAC companies that were family-owned for, you know, 4 decades, 5 decades, had great reputations in their community and had large market shares in their community. You know, 25, 30, 40 vans going out. And they bought all of them. And then they paid for the name, image, likeness of the former owners as part of the deal. And when you go to any of the websites for all of these HVAC companies, they all still say they're small businesses, locally owned and operated. Things like, we serve our community because we're part of our community. But now, they have unified software across all of them. And so no matter who you call for a quote on, let's say, a frozen line on your air conditioner, if the first one comes out and says $1,600, and you say, oh my gosh, that was only $400 the last time this happened. And they say, oh, you know, COVID, supply issues, nobody's gonna say greedflation, right? They say, but you know, if you want a second opinion, call one of them, see what they say. You have no idea that they're owned by the same company, same private equity firms, and the next guy comes out and says $1,580. And you say, I don't have that kind of money. They say, don't worry. We'll finance it for you. Because they bought the finance company too. That's fine.
How many franchisees are there in the United States?
They represent millions and millions and millions of employees. People don't realize small things are franchises. Little tiny coffee carts are franchises. And it's being consolidated and consolidated by these private equity firms to squeeze out any mom and pops that could compete with the franchises. So it's restricting competition and it's setting prices across the spectrum of services, everything from home services to car services to insurance services to real estate brokerages, schools. There's one private equity firm right now that owns 37 brands of daycare centers, and the daycare costs have spiraled out of control in the United States, but they are killing it in revenue. Everybody's saying childcare is unaffordable. Their employees aren't being paid well. But those private equity firms, they are making money, lots of money. Our trust in mega corporations is something like 8 to 9%, but our trust in small businesses nationwide is between 65 and 81%. They saw that, they saw the writing on the wall and they said, well, clearly that's what we've got to take next. We've got to convince everybody that's what we are. And they decided that they needed to invest in the things we cared about most, because as long as we were emotionally tied to the cost, no matter how much they raised it, we would pay it. Veterinary care, children's pediatric care, daycare centers, children's services, funeral services, the things you'll pay for no matter what. That's what they turn their attention to, because you will take, and they said, even if you won't pay it, you'll take out the loan to pay it. And then they bought all the finance companies too. And here we are.
Here we are. All right. This is where folks, man, oh man, they're talking about bringing in the new world order. Let me tell you something. The new world order is at our door, man. It's unbelievable, isn't it, friends? So as we sit back here and we kind of meditate on where we are and where we're going to go from there. When I come back from the break here in just a second, I'm going to dive into a little bit, show you some more stuff that's going on from a financial standpoint, and maybe some ideas of what we're going to do. And then, oh man, we're going to go to our buddy Doc Marquis. You say, who's Doc Marquis? Well, pull him up there real quickly for me. Number 13. That's not it. Where is it? His website there, Miss. Yes. Have you guys ever heard of Doc Marquis was a former Illuminati guy before most of us knew what was going on. He's passed away November 20th, 2018. He came out of the Illuminati. Oh, yeah, it's real. It's real. He came out of the Illuminati, and he's trying to warn. Well, he gave his life. He's dead. He gave his life trying to warn Christians about the mess that's going on in our churches, celebration of holidays. I got some stuff that's going to, you're going to see us on the other side. You ain't going to believe it. So no doom and gloom here. We believe that all things work together for good for those who love the Lord, called according to his purpose. But the question we have to ask ourselves, what do we do? What do we do? You got money in the bank? Do you know that if you have money in the bank, did you know that the money belongs to the bank? You know that we're having financial collapse all the time. One more. Where was that? Pull that up. Number. I got this one from Craig this morning. Craig, where is that thing? Where is it? Dollar stores, Tyson food. No, that's not. Yeah, number. No. Number five. Get number five up there real quick before we have to run to break. Number five. What's it say? Are you ready? $4,165,000,000 in deposits have left the banks in New York. What? People are getting their money out of the bank, folks. Something's happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. Be right back on the other side and hear from some of you. Hang in there. We'll be right back. Okay, we're back. Thanks, folks. Again, I'm trying to tape right along with Brideon. My Brideon shows, they've changed a little bit. My Brideon shows have to be pre-recorded, and I just didn't get around to getting one done this weekend. So we're gonna play this one as well. Okay. Now, let me throw this in here for you real quick. It's talking about Doc Marquis. Pull him up there, folks. I'm gonna play something for you. Hey, friends. Easter. Christmas, Groundhog Day. Do you really know what those days are? You really know? The summer solstice, spring equinox. But this is a video. It's a two-hour video, and I'm going to put it in the chat that you can watch it. But I want to start here just at the 14-minute mark, and I want you to watch a little bit of what Doc Marquis says about the holidays and a celebrating of the holidays. It's really, really long, and it's old. This is probably, I don't know, 15 years old, maybe. I don't know. Doc Marquis passed on. But I want you to watch. This is so old. He used PowerPoints. Remember when he, not PowerPoints, but what do you call them? Transparencies. He laid transparencies on there and projected it up there. Just go ahead and play a little bit of this, John. So, friends, again, we're going to put it in the chat because it really kind of shook me to my core yesterday as I was listening to it. It's holidays that we celebrate that are, well, go ahead.
And if you remember, the scripture even tells us, for witchcraft is as the sin of rebellion.
27 years old. Transparency,
we're going to add a couple things. Notice Yule, December 21st at the top. Right next to it, you're going to see Christmas. After that, we drop down to Groundhog's Day, which is on another night of human sacrifice, this one being Imbolc. May Day on the humanite sacrifice of Beltane, and Halloween on the humanite sacrifice of Samhain. These are just some of the holidays, some of the major ones that we celebrate. And can you see how they're already lining up with these occult Sabbaths? And you're going to find out that there is a reason. As we go through this, you will also note we're going to add different ones to it. This time, we will add Inauguration Day, January 20th, Valentine's Day, February 14th, April Fool's Day, Independence Day, July 4th, July 19th, 1996, which was the Olympic Games. You will note that the next Olympic Games is going to be on the humanite sacrifice of Mabon in the year 2000. Now, there's something strange going on with the Olympic Games. How many of you can recall the way that they started the 1992 Olympic Game openings? Does anyone recall what they did? They had an archer take an arrow, and he had it lit, and he shot it into the air. It arced over. It landed in the traditional Olympic bowl. This reminded me of the story of Prometheus, how he stole fire from the gods. Take a good look at this next transparency. You will notice that red spiraling object on top of the tower. That is the new Olympic bowl. Do you know what the papers were calling that? That was being referred to as the Olympic cauldron. And it was being properly referred to as a cauldron for some very specific reasons. First of all, just by looking at it, you can tell that this cauldron is a red one. It had to be red because the first family of the Illuminati, the head of it to this very day, Lord James Rothschild himself, his name Rothschild from the German means red shield. Second of all, you will notice how that cauldron is spiraling down and inwardly. There's a very good reason for that. When witches, especially those in the Illuminati, are concluding a lot of their ceremonies, they will dance in a spiraling formation. The reason it spirals inward is because they're bringing together, supposedly, great metaphysical energies to where at the end of the ceremony they will release all this through the cone of power, and then it will go out to do whatever they wanted to do.
All right, but you can stop right there, folks. Look, we'll put it in the chat. Now, again, listen, if you're watching, if you want the links to the chat, you have to go to CoachDaveLive.com. Johnny, can we go there for a second just again to show people? This is a fascinating, I'm telling you, it's an hour and 50 minutes. It takes on Easter, Halloween, takes on all of them, how they've stolen Christianized demonic holidays, okay? So just click on one of those, John, there. Folks at CoachDaveLive.com, click on it, come down at the bottom, and it says show more, and then there are all the links. They're always there. So after you watch the show and you weren't able to get to the link, go to CoachDaveLive.com. Click on today's show, click on show more, and then all the links will show up. Now, we're going to put it in the chat as well for you folks out there. But for those of you who are watching it later or whatever, nice smile there, Coach. All these links will be in there. Okay. I'm going to open it up. Somebody want to jump in here? I got a couple other things I can lay for you. Again, if you would like to go with us this coming weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, to help with the tornado in Ohio, contact me at coachptsaw.com, ptsaw.com, and we'll plug you in. And if we would ask you, man, help us financially, help us go help those people. I love to tell this story. We were down in, I've been to so many different places. We were helping some lady, and we just pulled up in our car. We jumped out of their car, and she was out there trying to clean up some stuff in her yard. And we got out, we helped her for about 25 minutes, moved some stuff, cleaned around. As I was walking away, she was just kind of standing there on the sidewalk, and she said, she didn't say anything. I just looked at her. I said, "Are you okay, ma'am?" She said, I sure could use something to eat. And I was able to reach in my pocket and pull out a $100 bill. I handed her the $100 bill because I knew it was more than just eating, right, folks? I handed her that $100 bill, and like a river, tears rolled out of her face, down her face, man.
Boom.
And you think she wasn't open to hear the gospel from Coach Dave with a cross hat on after that happened? So these are great, great gospel opportunities that we have to be ready to take advantage of. Pastor Dale, come on in.
Well, hallelujah, Coach, because the testimonies are incredible. Do you remember in Springfield? It wasn't a hurricane. It was a rain issue, 20-something inches of rain in one night. Do you remember rebuilding that man's house for free? Remember, this was for free. George, who I still talk to this day, his wife was going through cancer, and their house flooded on their 51st anniversary, Coach. Yeah, man, you want to talk about an impact on a person's life, not to include the thousands and thousands of meals we fed and in his house. I told him, I said, just pay us the material. And look, and you remember, I got you using a nail gun, shooting the floor in and everything. These are incredible testimonies, Coach, what Pass the Salt has done, you know, time and time again. But Mr. George, 51st anniversary, wife's going through cancer, and man, you know how distraught that must have been. I remember telling Mr. George, hey, Mr. George, you might not remember what you did on your 50th anniversary, but I bet you'll always remember your 51st.
Amen. Amen. And see, one of the magic of helping us go there, folks, by the way, Johnny, if you could pull up a map of Ohio, see if you can find one of those. Here's one of the magic of it. See, so we pull up into somebody's yard, and who knows what the condition is, because it's horrible, right? But some guy says, you know what, man, my roof's leaking. If I just get a tarp, he said, I don't have any money. And we can go buy him the tarp. You understand? We can go get it for him. We don't have to say, well, go down and check with FEMA, because we heard that a lot when we went to his house. FEMA will be here soon. FEMA's going to be here on Monday. No, folks. And also the strings you have to jump through. Hoops got to jump through. So I want you to see where Indian Lake is. It's clear. Make it a little bit bigger, Johnny, if you can. And then go to about, what time would that be? Go to about 10 o'clock on the, you see? Yeah, there's 10 o'clock. Can you make it bigger? There you go. There you go. Russell's Point. See it? Right there. That's Russell's Point. That's where it is. John, over here. Right there. Cool. Now, Johnny, make that smaller, so people see where it is in relationship to where we are. So, okay, I'm east of Columbus, so you can see how far we have to go. Wapakoneta, that's the home of Neil Armstrong, who didn't walk on the moon. That's where he was born, Wapakoneta, Ohio. So that's where we're going to be. And Dave Allison told me he's going to come. He's going to come down from Michigan. It's close for him in Michigan. Maybe some of you guys in Indiana can come across. You just got to let us know so that we get everything prepared for it. Sorry for a choppy show here. I just got a lot. It's been a weekend. Got a lot of stuff going on. Clay, come on in.
Yeah, I thought I'd share this memory about being in Maysville, Kentucky. The woman that was a widow, and her husband, you know, he had died a couple of years before, and the church had been closed down since he passed. And the church was completely imploded and blown apart, folks. And we had to clean that slab off because she had a big giant mess. So we started tearing that church, what was left of it, down. We were breaking the pews apart. And as we were breaking the pews apart, change was falling out of those church pews.
That's right.
And that woman was walking around through that debris picking up the change. There probably wasn't but a couple of dollars worth of change, $2 or $3 in all the church pews. But the woman needed that money, and she wasn't going to take it for granted. She was picking that change up out of the church. There wasn't nothing left of the church.
No.
It's amazing.
People lose everything. Let me tell you something. Again, I don't want to hammer this too hard. If you're able to go, it'll be a life-changing experience for you, for sure. Those folks lost everything. You know what everything is? Well, they lost everything. And, you know, we can sit around and say, well, FEMA will take care of them. Red Cross will get there. Here comes Franklin Graham. Yeah, well, I'm not making fun of any of those things, but those are nothing more than just quasi-government organizations anymore. And we go and we share the gospel, and we help the downtrodden. If you'd like to come, we sure could use you. We could use your support. You know, who knows how many thousands of you out there watching? If everybody gave $10, everybody gave $10. If we got $10,000. 1,000 people gave $10. We could go put $10,000 into that community, help those people get back up on their feet. Jeff Klein, come on in.
Coach, a memory down in Katrina. You remember when we was outside that school and we took that truckload of hot dogs and buns, $40,000 worth of hot dogs. Man, that was a big truck of hot dogs. And we set that line up in that parking lot at church. We had them pans, boil on them hot dogs, and all the, what they call them, the love bugs?
Yeah.
They were landing everywhere. We were scooping them out of the top of the pedal hot dogs. The cars were lined up. I mean, we did for hours and hours and hours that day. Constant line of 30, 40, 50 cars. And everybody that pulled up, lives are distraught. And we had groups praying with each car. We had people serving the hot dogs. I'll never forget the one man pulled up, and he was just a mess. I said, "What's going on, buddy?" And he said, basically, you just ask him, "What are you going through?" He says, he had his wife and his child holding their hands out the window of the house, and the floodwaters were like 3 or 4 foot deep. He was hanging on to them for dear life, trying to pull them in the window. The floodwaters were just trying to take them away, and then just woof, they went. He said he hadn't seen his wife and kid since that water sucked him out of that window, and he was just a mess. He had me crying, and then we're praying with the guy. Just story after story.
I'll never forget when Hurricane Katrina, against 2005. Man, that's a long time ago, isn't it? And we set up office. I'm sorry if I seem a little distracted today. I just got a lot of stuff going through my head about how to put this all together. But we got a place where we could set up, where we slept and everything. And then we started handing out free stuff. And some guy came walking up. I'll never forget. He had that far away look in his eyes. And I said, "Can I help you, sir?" He said, "What do you need?" He said, "I'm 62 years old. I've worked every day of my life since I'm 16. And everything I own is in the trunk of my car." I never forgot it, man. I never forgot it. Everything I own is in the trunk of my car. What do you give somebody, huh? What do you give them? Trent, come on in.
Coaches, it's powerful. It's life-changing. First of all, on these disaster reliefs, you got these, the Franklin Graham and, a couple others, and they do really nice because they got tons of, because they got tons of money, but a lot of times they set way out. People got to come to them. I mean, it's hard to get to, but basically, I would almost say 100% are Christians that are there helping. It's really probably about 95% is Christians. So if you think about that, it's all glory to God. It's our opportunity to stand
to serve,
up,
man, to
and
serve.
Help. Yes, and to it'll serve
change,
and to
it'll change
yeah,
them,
preach the gospel. Amen.
It will change them and you. It will change them and you. We'd love for many of you can to come with us. Dale would know better. Dale's got firsthand because he was down in Louisiana when Katrina hit. Go ahead, Dale.
Yeah, Coach, for me it was, man. It wasn't one storm. It's been several. And not only that, I remember in Port Arthur when we set up in that grocery store parking lot, we were giving out thousands of Bibles and supplies. And that revelation came that I shared with the people. I said, if I would have come to your house a day beforehand and say, "I'm here to haul all your junk, all your stuff out of your house," I said, you'd have called the cops and started shooting at me. I said, but the day after that storm, you welcomed me in. I was a relief to you. I said, now God has this opportunity. You've gotten all the clutter out of your life. Your foundation has been swept clean. And brother, it was such a revelation. And for these people, they don't even have a foundation. Now, what do the righteous do, right, when the foundations are destroyed, Coach? That's a message up there. What do the righteous do when the foundations are restored?
We rebuild.
We rebuild, and they rebuild with the brothers and sisters in Christ. Jeff, come on in.
Was that town Port Arthur where Johnny had that store? Do you remember we were down in that area for probably a week? And then like a month later, 2 months later, it come rolling up on Thanksgiving. And then we had this bright idea. Let's go down to Johnny's store, because we led Johnny to the Lord. His store is the only thing saved in that area. Everything around it was flooded out. He used all the food in his store to feed people. So we went back down at Thanksgiving, set that, I think, 8 or 10 of them deep fryers up on the sidewalk out front, and did all them turkeys and served Thanksgiving dinner to them people. We went down, landed on a Friday night and came home Sunday. A whirlwind trip, served them Thanksgiving dinners, and poof, we were back home. It was like, they loved that. It was just amazing.
Amen.
Well, Coach, I'm going to jump right in here real quick. Not only does it help those people, do you know this? Down in Michael in Florida, that's where I got to work side by side with Randy Lunsford. This is where I got to work side. What a development of brotherhood that I had with the people in this queue. When Bobby Lee and all those guys came down to Louisiana, there's something about working side by side with brothers in the Lord doing this kind of work. It was incredible.
I think we might have. Did we lose Coach?
I was going to say, Clay, what'd you do? Did you knock off Coach? Come on now.
He'll probably be back in just a minute. Yeah, down in Maysville, Kentucky, Pastor Charles Jennings was down there with us. And I remember we were standing there and.
Kaboom, I was gone. I don't know what the heck happened there, folks. I'm sorry.
He's back.
It's kind of been one of those mornings. Listen, we're going to have our Brydown crew is going to leave us here in just a few minutes. Ultimately, folks, at the end of the day, you know, I noticed this about some of our audience. Excuse me, Johnny. I don't know why the screen isn't over on my where it's supposed to be. Maybe if I do this, I don't know how to move this thing, John. Oh, I don't know, dude. There we go. Yeah, is that what I want? Yeah, there. I guess that's good. Hey, friends, there's calamity coming upon the earth. We're beginning to see it. We're beginning to see it right now. Really, a lot of calamity. Dollar stores closing. Or, you know, I saw a study. I'm sorry, I just got distracted. I saw a study that only about 22% of Americans even go to church anymore. Do you guys know that? Only about 22%. Think about your life, where you live, people you're associated with. How many of them go to church? Or better yet, how many people who are your friends that you your Christian friends, how many other people do you know around you who don't go to church? We're sitting in a situation where when I come back, if I haven't got so screwed up here, I'd send it to Craig. We could begin to, Craig just sent me something, that we would connect again the eclipse that's coming, at the heart of it, going right across Ohio, basically right across where this tornado hit last week. What's the average Christian, what's the average person going to do when things really, really, really begin to go south? What are they going to do when their credit card doesn't work? What are they going to do when they can't write a check? What are they going to do when the ATM machine doesn't work? And folks, I believe this kind of stuff is all in front of us. Now, I'm not a financial guru, not a financial expert in any way, shape, or form. But I would tell you this, if it was me, which it is, I would get money out of the bank into solid financial assets, gold, silver, tangibles, things you can own. Now, up on the screen right now is where the
eclipse.
Can't get it in my name. Eclipse is going to take place. Thanks, John. Oh, I'm about out of time here. Right there it is. And look at it. It goes right across the area where that. Can you point on it, Johnny? Can you point where Indian Lake is? Maybe you can. Up a little higher. Higher, 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 higher. There's Ohio right there in the middle. Where that red dot is. That red dot is. That's Nineveh, Ohio. That's pretty. It's very, very close to where this thing just hit. Oh, man. Hey, folks, I got to let the Brydion crew go. Now's the time. Share the gospel. Get out. Wake people up. What a time to be alive. God bless you, folks. We'll see you next week. All right. Okay, man. I'm telling you, folks, I got a million things. It might be one of the worst shows I've ever done. I got 1,000 things going on in my head. Come on in, Mel. Rescue me here, Mel.
Hey, thanks, Coach. Hey, I just wanted to let you know that the Resistance Chicks and Bards FM, they're doing... Excuse me, can you hear me? Can you hear me? Okay.
Hey, come on, man. Did you raise your hand, Clay? No, you put thumbs up. I'm sorry. All right, so McMahon, talk to me. So McMahon, talk to me. Thanks. Trent's making me feel good. Said it was good, Coach. No, it wasn't good. I know when I do a good show, and this thing was really, really distracting. But now I'm just talking to our home folks. So if any of you
have to really bring mail in, Coach. Liberty Mail wants to
come. We'd love to have you come. Maybe something's wrong here. He's trying to set up. We'd love you to come. And look, if you can't stay 3 days, that's okay. If you can only come 1 day or 2 days or, you know, like Dave Allison said, I'm going to drive down. And what we do is we'll find a church. We'll find bring a sleeping bag or whatever, something to sleep on. We'll find a place where we can take a shower. And we'll divide into groups. We may have, who knows how many different teams we'll have out there. John's making me nervous because everything shut down when I screwed up. So Mel's trying to get in here. It says, hang on. Hang on, Mel.
All right, I'm just going to try to speak. I don't know, Coach, if you can hear me or not. But
Steve Deck, can you hear me? Okay, Steve can hear me. All right, somebody, who wants to come in here? Mel, you want to come in?
Yeah. Again. All right, great. So Bards FM and the Resistance Chicks
refresh. I did refresh, Chad. They're working on me there.
Are doing an event on April 8th. And one of the events starts in Texas where the eclipse begins. And then another event happens, an event happening at the same time is happening in Dayton, Ohio. So I'm going to be putting that information up on the Liberty Action Network. Thanks, everybody.
They said, you hear me, but I don't hear you guys. Is that right? You hear me, Clay? All right, cool. What a show. What a show. Okay, now that you guys can hear me, this is not John's fault. Okay? I hit the wrong button. Something happened. We lost everything. Johnny always sets all this stuff up before the show, and so it all works okay. And Mel, if you're out there, come on back in. We'd love to hear what you had to say or anybody else. Somebody rescue me here today.
Dave, can you hear anyone else?
He can't hear anybody else. Just text Dave and said, hey.
Yeah. Okay, I texted him.
Chad, start driving.
The main thing is, ladies and gentlemen, we need your support to be able to do these operations. You know, when we went down to Texas a few years ago for this, we raised a little over $100,000 to go down there. We spent all of it on guys traveling, on food, on resources, on tables, and we were down there with Dale, helped head that up. For 16 weeks, we were down there. And hallelujah. And, you know, there was well over 900 churches in that town, and not one of them stopped in there and helped us and gave any type of assistance. And it's frustrating when we can't work together, we can't stay together, we can't lift one another up. Why don't we do this?
Amen. Amen. Hey, Chad, I'm back. Thanks, Chad. I'm finally back. Folks, look. It'll be a great opportunity for you, man. It'd be really, really good. And we build great relationships when we do it. If there's any way you can get off for a couple of days, we'd sure love to have you come. I can hear you all. You can hear me now. Sorry for the screw up. We got our set. Wasn't John's fault. It was my fault. Anybody want to come in here? Let me see here.
Yeah, Coach, I'll jump on that real quick. You said that thing about the bonding of the brotherhood. You know, it was in Springfield where I met Chad. It was in Florida where I met Randy Lunsford. And brother, working that kind of stuff, like Chad said, the churches were inept. They were nowhere to be found. They didn't know what to do. And brother, we were like a SWAT team to come in there, set up. And come on, Coach. The government was sending out MREs, right? And we were cooking 90% hamburgers and pasta, meat sauce. But the camaraderie that I bound with Chad and with all these other guys through this was incredible. I mean, this is such a great brotherly build of relationship. John says this in the first, the little epistle of John. He says, love not only in word and in truth, right? Those two. He said, but in our deeds and in our actions, right? Let our deeds and our actions be our words.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, here's something else that happens, and Dale can attest to this. I'm getting my feedback under me now. Thanks, folks. Golly. the churches, the pastors leave town, friends. The pastors leave town. Now, that happened down in New Orleans and a lot of the places we went because the devastation is so great. I don't know what it would be like at Lakeview, Indian Lake. I don't know what it's like there. Have the pastors left? Have the churches blown up? I mean, we really don't know, right? And I can also tell you this. You ask yourself this right now, friends. Wherever you go to church, if calamity were to strike your community, would your church be organized to do anything to help in any way? And I'd say the answer is probably no. No, they're not. They're not prepared to it. So we come in, we cook meals, we clean up, we do. And again, it's great. Love to have you be able to join us. Come on in, Jeff. Thanks for rescuing me here, folks.
You know, you just keep remembering some of these things. Remember that?
Jeff, you know, it's amazing. It is amazing. If we were to sit around a campfire and people start telling stories about something that happened, it'd be amazing. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
You know, you think about it. We went down to Katrina. Now, picture the ground down there. Everywhere you step, you're stepping on sticks.
It's unbelievable.
It was a mess. You remember who we took with us on that one trip? Remember old Bill in a wheelchair?
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
He could not get around. We didn't think about that. We're just like, Bill, you want to go? He's like, yeah, I'm going. The old Vietnam veteran. He was a warrior. He got down there, and then we're like, oh, my, how's he going to get around? We had to shove him over sticks, and he would get stuck. And buddy, he was just a trooper. But I remember the one day he's laying out there. We slept under a semi-trailer, me and Pastor Bill. Sleeping bags on the blacktop under the semi-trailer. I looked at Pastor Bill. I said, where are we sleeping? He said, right here, partner. I said, on the blacktop? We slept under that semi-trailer. Bill was out there in a sleeping bag on the ground. We woke up the next morning. He was soaked with dew.
Amen.
Soaked in a wheelchair. He was just, oh, it was a mess. It was a mess. But, buddy, I tell you, we had a good time with Bill in that wheelchair down there.
Memories, making memories. Let me throw something up on here that came across. Because we're always talking about Christianity, right? Pull up, where is it? Number eight for me, John. Ann Barnard. I don't know if you guys know who she is, but I've listened to Ann for, haven't heard her in a while, but came across this today. Maybe this might even be old. I mean, it says 2010 maybe, right? Johnny started at the 1:40 mark. And listen to what Ann Barnhart says about the word nice, which is the, if we could tell the truth, right? That's the anthem of America Church, be nice. Go ahead and play this.
Annie uses faux religious systems such as Islam. He doesn't care what the means are to our destruction. All that matters to him is that as many men as possible end up separated from God, which is to say, in hell. His number one tactic in the Western Judeo-Christian world over the last half century has been the endless, insistent drilling that the cardinal human virtue, the most important and most noble characteristic any person can possess, and the true message of Jesus Christ in the gospel is that everyone must always, always, always be nice. Not only is niceness not a virtue, I would argue that it is a sort of counter-virtue that stealthily weakens and handicaps the true virtues to the point where they are no longer present at all. At that point, all that remains is an empty, dried husk where a person once was. When Western civilization, the United States, and finally the church is filled with nothing but these empty husks called nice people, collapse and overthrow by the enemy is almost a complete certainty, and we are so close to that right now. Now, some of you are probably very confused as to why I'm railing against being nice. The reason you're confused is because you don't know what the word nice means. You think you do, but you really don't. As I said in my first YouTube clip, words have meaning. And too often today, people use words that they don't know the meaning of. And this is all part of the satanic Marxist plan. This dumbing down of language through the education system and media has allowed for the twisting of language so that now completely contradictory concepts can be presented as linguistic equivalents. For example, the statements, Islam is peace. Well, no, it's not. Or healthcare is a right. No, it isn't. Or tolerance is a virtue. It most certainly is not. And finally, my favorite, you have to be nice. No, I don't. And I won't be nice. And here's why. According to the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, feel free to look it up, the word nice comes from the Middle English, meaning foolish. The Middle English word came from the Anglo-French, meaning silly or simple. The Anglo-French came from the Latin word nescius, N-E-S-C-I-U-S, which means ignorant. And the Latin root of nescius is nescire, N-E-S-C-I-R-E. Nescire is a compound Latin root. The first root is ne, N-E, which means not. The second root is cire, S-C-I-R-E, which means knowledge. This is the same root that gives us the English word science. So, nescire in Latin literally means to know nothing. Run the Latin word nescire through France up into England and let it contract and corrupt for 1,000 years or so, and you end up with the modern English word nice. For many centuries, up until the first half of the 20th century, a nice person was a foolish, ignorant, agreeable, know-nothing simpleton. Because if a person is foolish and has no knowledge, he tends to agree with anything anyone says. Is this starting to sound familiar? Is this starting to click?
All right, you can stop there. Be nice, right? Be nice. So I checked. I went to Webster's, and one of the definitions, under Webster's is weak, foolish, and effeminate. Nice. Be nice. Be nice, right? The gospel of nice. Come on in, Clay.
Well, it seems to me like everybody's still trying to be nice, especially to their family members and stuff, extended family members, because they're just trying to keep the peace.
Right.
And I'm noticing that you know, now that prices are going up on food and everything in the stores, the young people, the young generation, they're not complaining about the prices. As long as they can go in there without a mask or get the jab, they're willing to pay the prices. The older people are concerned about the prices, but the young people are just accepting this as life. They're not even complaining about the gas prices and the food prices going up.
What's happening so fast? And again, things are accelerating, friends. You know me, I'm not a doomer gloomer, just not at all. But if you can't see what's going on with the finances, if dollar stores are closing, folks, why are dollar stores closing? Because they can't get stuff at dollar store prices anymore. Everything's up. Gas is up. Transport, all of it. All of it. And so there for a while, everybody could go to a dollar store and get $3.98 to get some razor blades the other day at the dollar store, right? So these are signs to us of all this mess that's coming down around us. Go ahead, Dale, quickly.
Yeah, Coach, going back to this one thing, this is the balance of a prophetic and mercy ministry.
Right.
Most churches are super mercy or they're super harsh, right?
Yep.
But the balance is that it's the justice of God and the mercies of God.
Yep.
And that's one of the things I love about this ministry.
That's right. Thank you, Dale. That's right. Right. We are a thus saith the Lord. We are a prophetic ministry, but we're also... We love to serve. Look, I'm not trying to twist your arm. I've got about 12 guys already are going to go, so I'm not looking for, I'm not trying to twist your arm to go. But if you have the ability to go, don't miss this opportunity, because you'll be telling stories about it the rest of your life. I promise you that. And I want to apologize for the discombobulated show, because it really was. And in fact, we got shut off and all that. Mea culpa, my fault. We'll clean it up. We'll do better next time. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.